It's Tuesday, the 1st of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Chris Webber. Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Ball is Life 247. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like Ball is Life 247 and sponsor the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and you can become that sponsor. Of course, if you're in Australia or New Zealand, make sure you're checking out Moneyball, the best DFS site down under. We have got a lot of stuff to talk about. I apologize if some of my words come out slightly slurish. I've got a real prick of an ulcer sitting in the bottom of my lip, and it's impacting my speech, and it's a massive pain in the ass, and I wish it would go away. So there's that for you. And I apologize if it makes me stumble over some words as the pain kicks in. So yeah, apologies all around in advance. Hopefully we can get through it without too many minor stumbles and miscues and all that sort of great stuff. We've got a lot to talk about, despite not a massive amount of games, but...
Let's get to it.
I will. Let's start off with the Instagram and Facebook contests. On Instagram, we're looking at Paul George. How many combined points, rebounds, and assists Paul George would have? The total was 37. We had two people get it right, Jesse Louis and Spider Dan 86. Congratulations to those guys. On Facebook, we're looking for Darren Collison, combined points and steals. Kevin Zhang got that correct, and the answer for that was 12, so well done to all you guys. Of course, for Tuesday's games, we're going to have the, we're going to have the contest back again. On Instagram, we're looking at Dougie McDermott. How many combined points and rebounds will McDermott have? And on Facebook, we're going to look at Paul Millsap, and we're going to go big. We're going to have points, rebounds, steals, and blocks. That's the combination we're looking for on Facebook. So make sure you are signing up or following on those on both of those sites. Instagram is at redrock_bball and facebook.com/redrockbasketball, and joining in all the conversation over there. And a big shout out to Justin Willis and Josh Ellis, who are great contributors on the Facebook page. Are always chiming and leaving posts, commenting on all the contests and other things that are going on as well. And guys, you mentioned about 7 players' names for the monstrous line of the night. You did get one of them right, as the monstrous line of the night goes to Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. He got his second career triple-double. He played 42 minutes. In fact, the Bucks dominate all the lines of the night for today. 18 points for Giannis, 17 rebounds, 11 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks, contributing all around. At one stage, he was a threat for a triple-double 5x5 line, which has never been done as far as I'm aware in NBA history. He shot 7 of 12 from the field. He was a putrid 4 of 11 from the free throw line. And a lot of people might say, Josh, you can't give him the monstrous line of the night because he's shooting that. I'm going to counter that by saying, if you own Giannis at the moment, you're basically punting free throws. And as dumb as that might sound, over the last month, Giannis is shooting 59% from the free throw line on 5.9 attempts. That's a big, big deficit. You might not be aware that you're punting free throws, but over the last month, you're almost necessitated into that, because that's a relatively big hole to come back from, especially if he plays a 4-game week. That's a negative Z score over that time period of negative 2.2, and you need some decent free... Look, you've got James Harden, fine. If you've got Kevin Durant, fine. But if you've got sort of a middling free throw team, a team that was sort of battles each week to get there, and you've got Giannis, who was a 73% shooter on the season, you're losing, and you've been losing for the last month. In fact, his last 3 months, he's under 70%. So he really needs to work on that. That's regressed significantly, and the attempts have gone up as well. And especially the last week, he's at 44% on 6 attempts. That's bad. That's really bad. That's unrecoverable from. If you're playing your Giannis over the last week and this week, your free throws, you're losing them. And that's something he does need to work on. But everything else has been brilliant. Over his last week, he's averaging 13, 12, and 8.7 assists. He's averaging 7.2 dimes over the last 2 weeks. He's giving you your blocks. He's giving you steals. He's not giving you any three-pointers at all, which is a weird a weird occurrence. He's only hit 16 for the season. So much talk of him in the offseason. Nah, he's got the three-point shot now. He's going to shoot threes. He's shooting with Eurobasket. It hasn't developed whatsoever. This Bucks team's got a lot of guys who don't shoot threes. Him and Jabari Parker, the two main offenders from the three and four spot, which they really need to do shoot more of them, but they're not shooting them at a great percentage, so maybe it's fair enough. But Giannis, he's developing into something extraordinarily special. Amazing that he lasted to pick 15 in that NBA draft. The waiver wire line of the night, we're looking at another Milwaukee player, as I mentioned, Jared Bayless. Played 35 minutes off the bench in his return from a knee injury. 18-3-4. He hit 5 triples. He had a steal. He went 6 of 10 from the field. Now, he got some extra run with Michael Carter-Williams out, dealing with some knee soreness, and OJ Mayo being just, like, poo. He is just terrible at the moment, Mayo. Can't get anything happening. Bayless had a real great role to start the season before he had a severe ankle injury. Came back, took him a while to work back, and the role was coming back. He was starting to get close to 30 minutes. What's Jason Kidd going to do with him down the stretch? I'm not going to be shocked if we see him starting and playing 30 minutes moving forward, because that's what it appears Jason Kidd loves, and that's what we've seen from him, basically all season. Is Jared Bayless a 12-team pickup after this? Yeah, probably not, but it's not stupid, especially if you're planning for maybe 2 weeks' time, when he might find himself in a 29-minute role and be able to give you 4 assists and 1.5 threes and 14 points and whatever he's able to do. It can be useful. He's not going to be as good as this because he's not going to play 35 minutes. Carter Williams is going to play, but I do fear for Carter Williams' minutes moving forward here. OJ Mayo, he's been terrible, so maybe he's the one who loses out the majority of the minutes. Mayo played less than what Rashard Vaughn did in this one, but I'm a bit worried about Carter Williams' playing time moving forward here. Bayless, big, big number. He's available in stacks of leagues. He's only owned in 9% of leagues, so he's around in lots of different places. So you can acquire him. And if you've got some dead weight on your roster, maybe let's see what happens over the next week and maybe it works out. He was a top 100 player. Remember that. He was a top 100 player. So in this system, with this roster, he can be a top 100 player again. So there's a little bit of something there to look at with Jared Bayless. The young gun of the night. We're sticking with Milwaukee. It is Jabari Parker. He played 40 minutes. He had 36 points. He actually hit a triple in this game. 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals on 16 of 25 shooting. He was terrible to start the season, abjectly brutal, but he has been fantastic the last probably 6 weeks. In the last month, he is a top 75 player. He's averaging 17.5. He's giving you a steal a game, which is good. You have only 0.3 blocks. He's not going to be a shot blocker. He's not going to be a big assist guy, but 2.5 assists is not a terrible number. That's okay. He's not shooting threes, obviously, but he's at 53% from the field. That's awesome. 74% from the free throw line, which is not great, but it's okay, especially when you're talking about 3 attempts as opposed to Giannis, who's on that number for the season at 5.5 attempts. And there's a big difference there. Yeah, Parker dominating at the moment. Impossible to own him for the first 2 months of the season, basically. He was just terrible. He was brutal, but he is being unleashed at the moment, and he looks really good. He is averaging 23 points a game in his last 6 games. 8 boards, 3 rebounds, 0.8 steals, 54% shooting. These are great numbers. These are top 50 numbers in that last 2 weeks. He looks fantastic at the moment. He's getting a shit ton of minutes, like stacks and stacks of minutes, and that's because we're seeing the absence of John Henson, which is prolonged. It's another one of those day-to-day back injuries that's lasting a month, and that's causing these guys in the front court to play extra minutes, but it's really benefiting Parker. He's developing beautifully, and it's great to see. If you own him in a dynasty league, if you own him in a redraft format, you're loving what he's doing. I didn't really see this second half explosion coming from him. I knew he'd be better than he was at the start, but this is him starting to realize his immense potential. The dart of the night goes to Brad Beal of the Washington Wizards. Beal played off the bench again. He did get 31 minutes. He had 16 points, which on the surface doesn't seem terrible, but he contributed nothing. 0 threes, 1 rebound, 1 assist, no steals, no blocks, and went 7 of 20 from the field. That's not a great night from Beal, and it does look like on the surface like it's not a bad line, getting 16 points, but you're providing nothing in the other areas, and that is very, very important to note. Over the last 2 weeks, Brad Beal is ranked outside the top 200. You don't have to drop him by any stretch. You should still be holding on to him, but things aren't looking great for him at this point because he's a guy who threatened to be a 4 rebound, 4 assist sort of player. In the last 2 weeks, he's at 2 rebounds, 2.5 assists. Injuries are definitely playing a factor, but he's only averaging 28 minutes. It's not like he's playing 20 minutes or 19 minutes. He's still playing 28, and he should be doing better than that in that time frame. You would hope he could start to do better than that anyway. Steals has never been a real high point for him this season anyway. That's not true. Last season, he was a 1.2. That's not bad. But this season, not getting anywhere near it. He's at 0.7 over the last month. He needs to be better there. The field goal percentage is going to be a concern. He's down to 41 over the last couple of weeks. You can't drop. You can't drop him. You have to hold on. But it's been a rough ride owning Bradley Beal, and it's going to really shake people's confidence in him moving forward into next year's draft, depending on what happens with him in restricted free agency. But people are going to be worried, and they should rightly be worried, because this is an injury that's not going away for him. It's three times it's happened in 3 years with a stress reaction. That is real worrying signs. And hopefully, for his sake and for his career's sake, they do take it slow on him. But that's not going to be great for fantasy purposes. He might be a guy that you can get outside the top 100 next year, that might not even end up being a bargain, given the way that he's currently playing and the issues that he has with injury. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup for Monday. John Wall, 58.3. Huge night from Wall. Ish Smith, that's back-to-back good games from him, 40.7. The shooting guards, another Milwaukee Buck. Chris Middleton, 48.4. He was in contention for the monstrous line of the night as well. Deion Waiters, I know that... I don't have it up. I think it was Rob Percher who posted his DFS lineup on the Facebook page today, and he had Deion Waiters in it, and I didn't comment on it, but someone else commented and said, oh, I like your lineup, but I'm not sure about Waiters. Rob, I hope you cash, because you had Waiters in there, minimum salary, and 26.4. Beautiful. He's in the perfect lineup. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 61.9. Trevor Ariza had 49.1. He was an awesome player as well. Markieff Morris, we're going to talk about him in more detail later, 42.1. Jabari Parker, 49.3. And Marcin Gortat, 54.5. That lineup would have given you a total of 403.7. I'd say it would have been a hard one to assemble, but Rob had Deion Waiters in his lineup, so you could have had Waiters in the end. He was a great punt play for a tournament because he is at low salary and they know the minutes are going to be there. So that's a lineup that definitely could have been assembled. And if you did, you were unbeatable. So congratulations if anybody who's listened to this show did assemble that lineup. I'm going to take a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be back to preview these games, not preview, to review these games in a little bit more detail. All right, I'll bring this up on the screen for you guys watching along on the video. There we are. Okay, get myself ready. Here we go. The first game was the Philadelphia 76ers and the Washington Wizards. Big win for the Wizards. The Sixers were without Hollis Thompson, dealing with that illness, and Jahlil Okafor was dealing with a shin bruise. I talked about it on yesterday's podcast when Jeremy Grant was the waiver wire line of the night and the young gun of the night. That when Okafor sits or Noel is out, you got to love Grant. You're going to use him, and you're going to use him in DFS. And he put up a big line. 35 minutes for Jeremy Grant, 14-6, 4 assists and 2 steals. That's obviously really good. Not 2 steals, 2 blocks. Matt Smith had a stat today that stop getting him confused, Josh. Jeremy Grant has blocked more shots this season than Andre Drummond. That's amazing to me. Now, Drummond's not a massive shot blocker, but that's an amazing stat to me. He's a great shot blocker, and when he gets minutes, the points come, the rebounds come, all that sort of stuff arrives as well. So Jeremy Grant, as long as Okafor's out, he's a 12-team league guy. Ish Smith, I mentioned his bounce back, 25.7 dimes, 2 steals, a block, and 3 triples, and another game, 2 in a row, of shooting over 50% from the field. Please don't count on that happening. Nerlens Noel only played the 25 minutes, but was still really productive, 11-6, had 2 steals, had a block, hit a 3 as well. I need to go back and rewatch this game to see how that actually happened. I haven't watched this one yet, but it's a huge, huge game from Noel to hit a 3 as well. If he adds that to his arsenal, he's going to be a really nice fantasy prospect. Nick Stauskas played 32 minutes off the bench. He went 10-3-3 with 2 steals. That's okay, but he's so unreliable. Don't want him in our standard formats. Bob Cove played 32 minutes, so I like the minutes getting up there. 9 points is not ideal. 5 boards, 2 steals, and a 3 is still reasonable, and I still think he should be owned. Isaiah Cannon got a start in this game with Stauskas on the bench. 32 minutes for Cannon, 13 with 3 triples, 3 assists as well. He's more of a I'm streaming for threes and a deeper league sort of player at this point. And Carl Landry is still alive, and he chimed in 15 points in 18 minutes. Well, TJ McConnell had 6 assists in his 17 minutes. Just one other quick shout out to the Sixers as well. Elton Brand has not played a single minute for them after they signed him, and I am completely fine with that. I'm happy. I loved, they signed him, veteran leadership, all that sort of stuff, but this is CC Sam Mitchell. You don't have to play these guys big minutes. They can still have an impact. Especially you don't have to play like four of them, like Andre Miller, Kevin Martin, Tayshaun Prince, and Kevin Garnett. All four of them didn't need to play. They can still be signed and they can still be on the team and provide advice and provide help and all that sort of stuff without playing 80 minutes of the game. And Mitchell's finally realized that after he's bought out, or after Miller's gone and after Martin's gone and Garnett is wherever Garnett, he's not playing again, it doesn't look like, and Prince has finally been minimized. But that's how you do it. And you don't give praise to the Sixers very often, for as much as I think that some of their moves have been harshly criticized, given they haven't once been the worst team in the league over this time frame, and they haven't been out of the playoffs for that long. And that's a complete different story. But I like what they did. Bringing Brand in, but don't take the development minutes. If this was Minnesota, Elton Brand would have been signed and he would have been playing over Jahlil Okafor. He would have played over Nerlens Noel. He would have played over Jeremy Grant. That's what the Timberwolves did to start the season. And it sounds ludicrous, but that's what they would have done. And that's what they were still doing to a degree with Prince not long ago. On the Wizards, Johnny Wall, 37 points, had 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 2 triples. This one goes out to our VP on Twitter, Vivek, John Wall's biggest fan. Wall was efficient as well, 13 of 26 from the field. He was 9 of 12 from the free throw line. Big, big night from John Wall, who's been great this season. And Markieff Morris was awesome, 16 and 13, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. I have been banging the Markieff Morris drum pretty hard in terms of keep him. Don't drop him. I said, if you're really battling for a playoff spot, I could understand dropping him. But personally, I've kept him. I think you should have kept him. Everything was trending in the right direction. And this is what they got him for. This is, now it's against the Sixers, and you'll see a lot of comments, man, it's the Sixers. I want to see him do it against another team. Don't wait. Just add him. If he's available, add him. Don't worry about waiting for him to do it against another team. Just add him. They want him to be the starting power forward. They want him to play the most minutes. They want him to be a key part. And he can do it. And he's not as bad. We get confused that player A is a dickhead, and I'm not debating that he's a dickhead. He's a massive, massive knob. Not debating it. But he's also good. He's also better than Jared Dudley. He's also better than JJ Hickson. He's also better with whatever other crap they've got out there. Nene. He's better than those guys. They invested in him, and he's going to play. And we forget how good he actually was last season in Phoenix and the year before as well. We forget how good he was because of the antics and the off-court stuff and, you know, and the disciplinary issues and the throwing towels at coaches. We forget all that. But put him in a situation where he plays, he's actually pretty good. So Markieff Morris, if he's available, yes, it's the Sixers. Don't wait for him to see it against another team. Add him and deal with the consequences later. Marcin Gortat, 41 minutes, 18 points with 20 boards, 5 assists, and 3 blocks. It's a massive night from him as well. While Otto Porter had 10 and 6 with 2 triples and a block. So he cooled off after that big game the other day. Garrett Temple, really in the running for the least with the most. 27 minutes for him, 7 points with a triple and not much else. And Allen Anderson was out in this one with rest. Gary Neal still out with his thigh issue. And Nene sat this one out with rest as well on the back-to-back. Jared Dudley, interesting, played 12 minutes, 4 points and 4 rebounds. Look at where you are in a league. If there's someone else you want to go and add, you can drop Dudley. I'm just not convinced he's going to start playing 25, 27 minutes a night consistently enough for standard leagues. He might do it occasionally, but Morris is going to do it more often, and that I am confident that is the way that the Wizards want to run things. Indiana at Cleveland, Paul George, 23, 8 and 6, 4 threes and 2 steals. On 7 of 16 shooting, which qualifies for an efficient night for George, he was 5 of 5 from the free throw line, while Monte Ellis dropped 28 on 21 shots and had a couple of triples. Not much else in his stat line, and George Hill with a pedestrian 11, 2 and 5 in 39 minutes. Miles Turner, he's cooling off a bit at the moment, 29 minutes only for him, 8 points, 4 rebounds, still a couple of blocks, but by no means am I moving on from him. He did have some foul trouble, 5 fouls in 29 minutes, and Jan Mahinmi also had foul trouble, 4 fouls in 21. Mahinmi was still good. Only 2 points, but 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 4 blocks. He should be owned in most places, and I know that he's not because he's only owned in 35% of leagues, and that is way too low. Rod Stuckey played 18 off the bench. He had 6 assists. He's more of a deeper league guy because he's very limited in what he can do. 6 assists is great, but that's just not what he's going to do. That's not what his game is going to be. He's going to be a scorer without hitting threes. He's going to be a decent free throw guy, a good field goal percentage guy generally, who doesn't provide much in other areas. He'd need to get to 25 minutes or so to even be a 14-team league guy at this point, I reckon. Chase Budinger had a bit of a game out of nowhere. 15 minutes for him, 11 and 4 with a 3, actually with a triple one. He was on 5 of 6 shooting though, so that was just a case of someone getting hot. LeBron was back for the Cavs 37 minutes after his day of rest. 33, 5 and 4, 2 steals and 2 threes. A really good night from LeBron, while Kyrie chipped in with 22 points as well. Yes, he only shot 5 of 13, but he hit all 11 of his free throws, added 6 assists, a 3 and a steal. And Kevin Love, just a pedestrian 13, 8 and 6. In 40 minutes as the Cavs got the victory, just by 4 points in the end. Tristan Thompson, he went back to the bench with Timofey Mozgov starting. Didn't really make too much difference because Mozgov only played 16 minutes and had 1 point and 8 rebounds. And Thompson had probably his best game in the last 2 weeks or so. He played 31 minutes and went 14 and 11 with a block because Channing Frye was completely out of the rotation. So that was odd. Let's see what happens with that. But if Frye's gone, then Thompson's going to go back to 30 plus minutes. And that's going to mean double digit rebounds on most nights. And that's where his use was coming from. So keep an eye on it. See what happens in the next game. But if Frye's out and Thompson's back to 30 plus, you're going to get 10 rebounds, you're going to get good field goal percentage, and you're going to get the occasional block, and that can be useful in 14-team leagues and on certain 12-team league builds. And J.R. Smith had 11 with 3 triples. That's nothing too exciting with his night there. And Matthew Dellavedova had 6 points and 5 assists. Still a really nice source of assists, Dellavedova, but probably more of a 14-16-team league guy. Richard Jefferson went back to the bench with LeBron back, and Iman Shumpert only the 17 minutes, and all he was able to add is an assist. He missed all 6 of his field goals. He is just not a great fantasy player whatsoever. The Utah Jazz and the Boston Celtics. Shelvin Mack, return of the Mack, 8 of 13 for 18 points. 2 triples, 1 assist, and 2 steals. I was all for dropping him. I still don't believe that this is going to... Look, he's not going to shoot 8 of 13 and have 18 points. He can't provide assists. He had 1. You know, 2 steals, 2 threes. This stuff is not replicable for him. Yeah, fine. If you still got him, just you keep holding after this one. But I'm not rushing to, you know, please forgive me, Shelvin. Come back. I'm adding you back onto my team. I'm done with him. I added someone else. Whatever. If I see 3 more games in a row of this, I'll go, yeah, okay. But Alec Burks coming back is going to lop some minutes off his playing time as well. And I don't think he's going to be 12-team relevant very much at all. Derek Favors went 11 and 16, had a steal and 3 blocks, while Trey Lyles, probably his best game in his career, just 24 minutes off the bench, but 18 and 10 with a 3 and a block. He is a very, very interesting prospect. I think he's going to be a super fantasy guy if he gets an opportunity. The problem is, behind Gobert, behind Favors, is he going to get to 34 minutes at any stage in the next 4 years? It might be a struggle for him, but I reckon he can be a sensational fantasy contributor. Speaking of Gobert, he had 12 and 12 with no blocks. You need blocks from him for him to really realize his fantasy potential. And Rod Hood had 11, 4, and 7. Terrible shooting from Rod, 4 of 17, while Gordie Hayward went 6 of 20 for 16, 4, and 6. So inefficient nights from both of their wings, but decent counting stats there. On the Celtics, Jay Crowder, 22 points, 4 assists, another 2 steals, 3 triples and a block. He continues to be a player who's probably the most surprising player in the league to me this season, to be honest. Avery Bradley chimed in with 18 points, and Isaiah Thomas went 18, 2, and 9. On 8 of 19 shooting. Just the 30 minutes for Isaiah here. He was limited in this game. No injuries, no foul trouble, but they just went in different directions. Amir Johnson got to 21 minutes, 5 and 9 with a couple of blocks. Yeah, fine, but he's a 14-team league guy. And Jared Salinger struggled, 8 and 9 with 3 assists and a block, but that's just a blip to me. I'm still continuing to hold him. Marcus Smart, 5, 5, and 4, not his best night, but still added a block, added a 3. The 5 rebounds and 4 assists is still pretty handy, and I still think he's a 12-team league guy despite this, you know, sort of drop-off. And Evan Turner had a really decent night again in 28 minutes, and he is a 12-team league guy for me too. 8, 6, and 4 with 2 steals and a block for Turner. The Houston Rockets and the Milwaukee Bucks, I talked about a lot of the Bucks guys already. On the Rockets, Trev Ariza, huge night from him, 20 points, 4 triples, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals. Someone pointed out today, I think it was either Josh or Justin, that he is a massive second half player. No, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was Vivek on Twitter. Yeah, that's who it was. Vivek pointing it out that Ariza is a massive second half player, and that is true. Marcin Gortat is also a massive second half player, as is Ken Faried. That's about the last 3 years in a row that those three guys have turned it on in the second half, and Ariza has been better than I think most people would realize when you look at his rankings and his numbers, because he's not a big point scorer, but his overall ranking and the value that he brings is pretty high. He's ranked 51st on the season. He's a top 20 player over the last month in 8 category leagues. he's almost top 10 in the last 2 weeks. Over the last month, he's at 14 points, and that's fine, but 2.6 triples, 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 3 steals a game, 44 and 85. You don't realize how good you've got it in Trevor Ariza. And with Ariza, he was dropped plenty of times to start the season, despite this ranking, because he's a guy that the common fantasy basketball person doesn't understand the value that Trevor Ariza can bring. And some seasoned fantasy basketball people might not understand the value Trevor Ariza brings as well. He has to be on certain teams, but 2.3 triples, 2.1 steals, 5 rebounds on the season. These are good numbers. And he's on a real red-hot free-throw shooting streak. The field goal percentage is up as well at the moment. He's looking really good, and the move to power forward has worked really well for his fantasy value. Jim Harden, 26-6-9, 3 steals and 3 triples. Super efficient as well, can't ask for much more from him. And Pat Beverley played 38 minutes. A nice line, 13-3-3, 2 steals and a triple. What do you do with Beverley? Is he a 12-team must-own player? I won't say must-own because I don't think he should be for every team, but over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 70 player. He's giving you 1.5 threes and 1.8 steals. His shooting is at 48%, which is probably not going to be realistic, and 78% from the line, which again is well above seasonal averages. Beverley, to me, is not a must-own player. He's a nice guy to fill a point guard slot when you are punting assists, because he doesn't bring assists, but he does give nice rebounds, the threes, the steals, and his free throw percentage is pretty solid. Not a must-own, but sure, he's someone that you look at and you go, maybe. Dwight Howard had 30 points on 20 shots. That's real efficiency. 13 boards, nothing else. No steals, no blocks, no assists, nothing there. You love this 12 of 20 from the field, and you don't give a shit about the 6 of 14 from the free throw line. And that's just the way it is with Dwight. I love seeing Donatas Motiejunas play. 19 minutes, 6 and 5, 2 assists, 1 steal, and a 3. Let's keep an eye on him. He's going to need to get to 27 minutes to be fantasy relevant. But you know, 2 games after the trade was rescinded, he's playing some decent minutes here, and that's a really good sign. Terrence Jones put 4 points in 12 minutes for him. Now, Corey Brewer, back on the bench, he played only 14 minutes, didn't score. He has no fantasy value anymore, not that he had really any to begin with. And Ty Lawson played 6 minutes as well. He is done also. On the Bucks, I've talked Jabari, talked Bayless, talked Adetokunbo. Let's talk Chris Middleton, who had 30 points. He added 4 assists and had 5 steals. Had a block and a 3, hit all 15 of his free throws, that is massive, and went 7 of 11 from the field. Possibly could have given him the monstrous line of the night. In hindsight, he's probably a little bit stiff, but that is it's a fantastic performance from Middleton. He has been one of my surprise players for the year. Even though he was awesome last year, I thought the return of Jabari Parker is going to have an impact on him. Not so much. He's a top 20 guy over the last 2 weeks. He's a top 30 player over the last 2 months. He's averaging in the last 2 months 21 points a game. I remember when Chris Middleton's getting, what did he get? 60 million? Is that what he got? I can't remember. He got a big contract. This league's stuffed. Chris Middleton, why is he a max player? This is why. Because he's averaging 21, 4.5, 4.5, 1.6 threes, 1.8 steals in the last 2 months. He's an 87% free throw shooter on 5.6 attempts. That is significant for fantasy. It is a big, big number. And the big, big attempts. Big number, big volume. He has been a fantastic fantasy player this year. And really didn't expect him to be as good as he is at the moment. I thought he's going to take a step back. But instead of taking a step back, he's taken a massive leap forward. Massive. He's scoring 5 more points a game. More threes. Double the assists. His steals have stayed the same. The rebounds have dropped slightly. And his field goal percentage has dropped a little bit too. But otherwise, the counting stats are incredible, and he has been fantastic. There's no other way to put that. Miles Plumlee played 28 minutes in this one, 9-8 with a block, and Greg Monroe just 20 minutes. Now, he did battle foul trouble, 10-6, so I'm not getting overly pissed about this or Jason Kidd or anything like that, but there is a risk associated with guys coming off the bench under Kidd is that something happens and he doesn't like it and they sit on the bench for extended periods of time. And we've seen it happen to Monroe couple of times already since he's moved to the bench. He still has to be owned, but it's not a great sign if you own him. As for Plumlee, he's more of a 16-team league guy at the moment. 9-8 with a block is solid. He's a really nice streaming option for blocks, though. He seems to be able to get at least a block a game recently, filling in with that John Henson role pretty nicely. Memphis at Denver. Zach Randolph, 22-4-6 with one block. Nice percentages as well. The 6 assists for Zach Randolph, do not bank on that at all. Even the block, that's a rarity for him. But obviously he has to be owned with our Marc Gasol. And Matt Barnes, still only owned in 43% of leagues. Don't know why, he's got to be owned. 16-5-5 with 2 steals for him also. And Lance Stephenson went 14-3-2. We talked about Stephenson yesterday. When Tony Allen returns, he is going to cop a bit of a hit. But 14-team leaguers should be looking at Lance. PJ Hairston played 32 minutes. That is something I'll never understand. 14-4 for Hairston, 2 triples, a steal, and a block. That's his second big game in about the last 4. He's more of a guy in a 14-team league also, and I imagine he gets a bit of a hit soon too. But hey, you can't argue with the production in the last couple. Mario Chalmers was good, 15 points, 3 assists, and 2 steals, but not consistent enough for me for standard leagues. And Brandon Wright is going to be out. He's got an MCL sprain. We don't know the extent of it, but I imagine he's out for at least a couple of weeks at this point. Mike Conley, only 7 points on 9 shots. That's not efficient. 9 assists and a block. It's still okay, but not his greatest night. While Chris Anderson, the Birdman, started in place of Wright. He played 22 minutes and had 7 points with 4 rebounds. And Jermichael Green and Jarrell Martin filled in the other big man minutes. But they're nothing to get too excited about. Green's a guy you look at in deeper leagues. For the Denver Nuggets, Ken Fareed, 16-11, 4 assists and 1 steal, 28 minutes. Talked about him before. He is a big second half player and it's coming through for him. Nikola Jokic, limited to only 19 minutes as Denver went really small ball. Can't agree with it. I think Jokic should be out there more, but he's still productive. 10-6-3 with a steal and a block. On 3-4 shooting and 4-4 from the free throw line, that's still a positive fantasy influence, and I still haven't dropped him. I know that it's 19 minutes, but I've said this plenty of times with Spurs guys in the past as well, when people all have arguments with me about players and say, yeah, but they don't play minutes. But if they're playing 20 minutes and they're producing these numbers, I'll take them for what they're giving me. Yeah, they might not play more minutes, but they don't need to play more minutes to be productive enough to own. And if they do play more minutes, it's a bonus. So to me, I'm still holding Jokic. Nurkic, still not back into the rotation, didn't play at all here. And with Danilo Gallinari likely out for, they're saying a month, I'll be shocked if he's back in April. He's torn 2 ankle ligaments. That does not sound good. That feels to me like a 6 to 8 week injury. They're saying a month. I'm not a doctor. I'm not his doctor, but I'll be shocked if he's back in a month. With Gallinari out, guys are going to have to get more playing time. Now, Jakar Sampson started in place of Gallinari. He played 30 minutes, and he is a really terrible player. He's not good. 7 points with 2 rebounds and an assist with a 3-pointer for Jakar. But a guy playing 29 minutes, if you're in a 16-team league, you have to look at him, and you have to go, okay, he's going to luck himself into 16-team value by starting. DJ Augustine only played 15 minutes in this one, but he had 5 fouls, so don't say and go, okay, Moutier's won the job back and he's starting, because the game before, Augustine had played way more minutes. So let's see what happens when he doesn't have foul trouble. Still 11 points and 2 assists in 15 minutes is interesting. So if I did add him, I just want to hold. Moutier went 8-5-7 with 2 blocks and 2 triples. So a really nice, diverse range of stats from him. Darrell Arthur is going to benefit from Gallinari's absence. He played 27 minutes, 9-4-3 with a triple and a steal. He's probably not going to be a must-own 12-team league guy, but he is going to have 12-team league value on occasion, and a 14-team leaguer for sure. Gaz Harris, 15 points with 3 triples and a block. He should be owned everywhere. And Will Barton played 34 minutes, but he wasn't great. 9-6-4 on 3-of-9 shooting. The next game, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Sacramento Kings. Russ Westbrook, another triple-double. 20, 13, 15, 2 triples and 3 steals, while KD had 27, 10, and 6 with 4 threes, 2 steals and a block. These guys are just fantastic fantasy players. You don't need me to tell you that, though. Enes Kanter, what a game. 23 points in 25 minutes, but he did it on 11 of 11 shooting. That is such a massive boost to your field goal percentage. It is a huge, huge impact. And you don't expect him to do that often, but one thing we know about Enes Kanter is he's great for your percentages. So you know that. So he's a great target if you're not punting percentages, that he's going to provide that and has the occasion to give a decent rebounding numbers. To me, still not a 12-team league guy, though. Dion Waiters, who we talked about earlier, played 32 minutes and dropped 22 points, had 3 threes, 2 assists, and a steal. The law of averages says that'll never happen again, so I'm not banking on that or getting excited there. Serge Ibaka, after his 20 rebounds, he was able to pick up 7. 12 points here with a block as well for Surge in 30 minutes. And Steve Adams limited to just 14 minutes, so that allowed Cantor to play some extra time. Adams had foul trouble, 5 fouls, 4 and 3, while Andre Robertson had 4 and 2 in his 21 minutes. Good to see Campaign back in the rotation, but the game was a blowout, so he played just 2 minutes, so in reality, not back in the rotation. It just sickens me to see Randy Foy playing 24 minutes and being terrible while Campaign rots his ass on the bench. For the Kings, just a lot of tomfoolery before the game. Rajon Rondo's out. Ah, nah. Rajon Rondo's questionable. Nah. Rajon Rondo's probable. Nah. Rajon Rondo's playing. Like, what is happening? It's happened over the span of about an hour. It was just stop messing with everyone. Out, questionable, probable, playing. Work it out. Anyway, Rondo played. He played 36 minutes, so clearly no issue. 11, 9, and 12 with 2 steals. And why he needed to do that and play, if he was actually injured, beats me, because you know, they got a point guard who's good in Darren Collison who can actually do things. So that's an odd one to me. Glad they got smashed. DeMarcus Cousins, 35 and 12, 3 assists and 4 steals. A big night from him, and as per usual, just destroying you in percentages. Quincy Acey had a Quincy Acey explosion, 28 minutes, 10 and 4, 3 steals. There's nothing to see there. Rudy Gay was out. Interestingly enough, Omri Caspi played just 25 minutes. Caspi was a must-own player to start the season. 16 points with 2 triples here. He's not a must-own player to me anymore. I don't think that he has a spot in a 12-team league. I'm not sure that he has a spot. 14-team league, yes. Definitely not a 10-team league. Ben McLemore played 19 minutes for 14 points. Cool. He's a deep league target only. Willie Cauley-Stein, just not consistent enough. 16 minutes with 6 points, a steal, no blocks. He's not a 12. He's probably not a 14-team league guy, to be honest. And Darren Collison went 12, 3, and 4 with 2 triples. He, on the other hand, should be owned in basically all leagues. The last game of the night is the Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Clippers. Brook Lopez, 25, 10, and 4 with 2 blocks and a steal. Big night from him. Wayne Ellington, dealing with a concussion, played just 21 minutes, 13 points and 3 triples. That whole Ellington, Bogdanović, Markel Brown situation, it's really hard to own these guys. I think Bogdanović is the guy that you want to look at in 12-team formats. Ellington and Brown are more 14-team league guys. Now, Bogdanović is going to have bad nights for sure, but this was a good one. 19 points with 6 rebounds and 2 triples. Thad Young had 9 points only, but 11 boards and 4 assists. And Markel Brown had 8 and 5 dimes in his 27 minutes. Don Sloan, not the best night. 10, 3, and 4 with 2 steals, and he played 24 minutes, which was actually less than Shane Larkin. And Larkin's minutes have been creeping up. Sloan's have been coming down. He's probably still a guy you want to own, Sloan, in 12-team leagues, but by no stretch is he a must-own player. Chris Paul, 23, 6, and 12 with 2 steals. Super efficiency. That's just what he does. And Jamal Crawford bounced back after a few poor games, 26 points off the bench. Paul Pierce returned to the starting lineup, played 22 minutes and had 8 points, and Jeff Green went to the bench, but Green still played 31 minutes. So 7 and 7 with 2 assists. It's not a great line, but it's encouraging that he's still playing those minutes. So Jeff Green owners, just sit tight, I would say. JJ Redick had 19 points. DeAndre Jordan went 10 and 10 with a block in a pretty disappointing overall performance. Luke Marmute started and played 9 minutes. Why? No need for him to be playing any minutes whatsoever. When Austin Rivers returns, Marmute should be out of the rotation completely. But it's Doc Rivers, so some dumb shit stuff is going to happen. We'll just wait and see exactly what that is. All right. We are done with the reviews for the games from Monday. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk about the games for Tuesday. I saw ya. jump straight into them. The first one looks like it could have a fair bit of fantasy value. It's the Phoenix Suns and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets, though, are favored by 13. The Suns are shithouse. The total is 206, so we could see a bit of a blowout. I'm not really predicting too much of a blowout here because I think that the Suns, or the Hornets, necessarily aren't good enough to blow them out. I guess we'll wait and see. We'll see who's right and wrong. Me or Vegas, I take you on, Vegas. Point guards. Kemba Walker is at 8,200. He has been underwhelming lately, averaging just 34 points. His highest score has been 41 over his last five, and that would give him 5x value. But you feel like he's due, and he's playing the Suns. Can he tear Ronnie Price a new one? I could probably tear Ronnie Price a new one at this point. Is risk involved in Kemba? But in a tournament, he's got 50-point upside, no doubt. He's an okay guy to look at. Ron Price, on the other hand, for as much as I just bagged him, he's at 3,800. He has had a pretty decent game in his last couple. Not so good in the last one, but the competition for minutes is him and Phil Pressey. So at some point, he's going to play some minutes, and he's going to play 25, 26 minutes. He's going to luck into 4 or 5 steals. He's going to get 12 points. And at 3,800, he's going to get 20 DFS points, and he's going to be useful. He's averaging 19 across his last five, 23 across his last three. He's not a bad look in a tournament at 3,800 only. Pressey at 35, the minutes just aren't coming for him at the present time. The shooting guards. Courtney Lee is at 3,700. That's not expensive, but he is not a guy that produces, and that is a problem. Yeah, he might get hot, he might hit a couple of threes, but what's his ceiling? 23 fantasy points? I don't love him here. Nick Batum at 6,200 has been really disappointing recently, averaging only 23 points across his last five. But like Kemba, this is a matchup that screams for him to have a big one. At 6,200, can he get to 35 points? That's not a crazy thing to look for. Trust is low for cash, but tournaments, all for it. Jeremy Lin at 4,400, no thanks. I just don't see him getting minutes on a regular basis. On the Sun side of things, Devin Booker at 4,800 hasn't been doing anything of late. Not loving him here. And Archie Goodwin has dropped down to, he's at 4,700, but his playing time has dropped off significantly as well. So I don't think either of those guys are worth much of a look. Small forwards, PJ Tucker had a massive game in the last one, putting up almost 43 points in 43 minutes. He's priced at 4,800, but even with that big game in his last five, he can't get his average over 21 points. And that's a concern. Yes, you can look at him using him in a tournament, but his downside is pretty low, so there's no cash game use for PJ Tucker. The power forwards, Mirza Teletovic at 4,700, one of the must plays of the day, it feels like to me. He's averaging 30 across his last five. He's only at 4,700. Even if he drops off from 30 and gives you 25, it's bang, that's enough value there. So I'm definitely fine with using him. Marvin Williams is the other guy. Now, he's at 6,000, but he's been exceeding that value pretty consistently. 31.7 average across his last five. A great matchup for Marvin. Fine with using him. Cody Zeller, no thanks. Frank Kaminsky, also no thanks. And John Lua, you might not even see the court. That's how bad he's been playing. With the centers, Alex Len, let's hope he starts and let's hope he gets the minutes because he dropped 47 points in the last game in 34 minutes. He's at 5,200. Even with some of the questionable decisions Watson's made, he's averaging 29 points across his last five. I'm fairly confident that he can get close to that in this game, so I'm okay with using him. Tyson Chandler at 46, yeah, not so much. And Al Jefferson, I do not want any part of him in DFS or in seasonal leagues. The Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat, there is no spread for this one because obviously we're waiting on the status of Derrick Rose. Just a quick thing, Nikola Mirotic, it doesn't appear like he's going to be back anytime soon. He could be cut in basically every league. We're looking at least another couple of weeks away for Mirotic. The point guard battle. Now, make sure if you're not a member of Basketball Monster, you're joining up because we've got these new great things, the what-if scenarios, and you can have a look at our projections with Derrick Rose, or you can have a look at our projections without Derrick Rose. Very easy to switch on and switch off which way the minutes go. If Rose plays, is at 7,200, it's a terrible matchup. I wouldn't want to use him despite how well he's played recently, but coming back from a hamstring injury against the Miami Heat team, not going to use him. 6,300 for Dragic. I can sort of get behind that against the Bulls, who do give point guards some decent numbers. It's fine. His production in his last three has been a little bit off, but he was balling before that. So 6,300 feels expensive for Dragic and what he's done, but in this sort of matchup, I'm definitely okay with looking at it. The shooting guards. Dwayne Wade has been on fire. He's averaging almost 40 across his last three. He dropped 45 in the last game. This is a positive matchup for him. He's at 7,600, one of the better shooting guard options on the board, I think. Etuan Moore's at 44. He is fine to use as well. Yeah, his average numbers don't look great, but he did drop 28 in the last game. He does have high upside. His cash game reliability is pretty low, so I won't be using him there. Joe Johnson, 5,400, not using him. Josh Richardson is an interesting one. He's played big minutes the last couple of games. His production's not awesome, but he's at 19.6, his average across his last three. And at 3,700, that's not too bad. It's okay. I probably wouldn't use him because I'm not sure how big his actual upside is, but he's a name to keep an eye on. Tony Snell, next position. The small forwards. Doug McDermott is at 4,100, and he's been playing really, really well, really consistently. Now, he doesn't do much for your standard league because he does nothing apart from score, but for DFS purposes, at 4,100, do you think that Doug McDermott can get you 24 points? Well, you should, because that's what he's been averaging over the last five, so he is an okay guy to look at. Mike Dunleavy's minutes have been consistently rising, and his production's been good too, a 22 average across his last three. He's at 3,900. He is definitely in play. Justice Winslow at 4,600. Not so sure I want to rely upon him. But Luol Deng at 6,000, 34 average across his last five. The Bulls is a superb matchup for him. Definitely fine with getting him out there. At power forward, do I have to talk about any of these guys? Maybe Bob Portis at 4,400, who dropped 34 in the last game. Not all that confident in using him. Tournaments only. Taj Gibson, 5,100. No thanks. Josh McRoberts and Murray Stoudemire. No, definite no thanks on those guys. At center, Hassan Whiteside's at 8,400. He's been playing sensationally well off the bench. 47 average across his last five. Great matchup against the Bulls bigs. He's fine to use. Pau Gasol, it's an extra $1,000 for Pau. Now, he has been playing better over the last couple of games. Had a massive triple-double recently for the Bulls. 67 points in his last game. 9,300, does he get over 40? Yeah, but I would rather spend $1,000 less than take Whiteside. Portland and the Knicks. The Blazers are favored by 5. The total is 207 points and a half. Myers Leonard is dealing with some sort of stomach upset that limited him in the last game. Didn't limit him that much because he played over 20 minutes. I'm not too concerned. Jose Calderon's at 4,000. The minutes are being shoved down his throat. He's not responding with any production, so I'll leave him alone. Dame Lillard's at 9,300. He gets to face said Jose Calderon. I like him at 9,300. 45 points. You feel like there's a massive chance for that against the Knicks. Jerian Grant and Brian Roberts, probably not. Shooting guards, Aaron Aflalo, we do not know if he's playing. He's dealing with some knee issues as well, so not going to be using him. CJ McCollum is at 7,100. I think he is a really awesome play here. This is a great positive matchup for him as a shooting guard. 35 points should be what he's looking at here, and I think he's a big chance to get it. 4,200 for Gerald Henderson. Great matchup for him here too. I don't hate using him. For as much as I hate Gerald Henderson, I don't hate using him at 4,200 here. Langston Galloway, if Aflalo was out, I would consider it at 4,100. He dropped 27 in the last game starting at the 2, and he would be a fine option if Aflalo happened to not play. Small forwards, Mallow is 8,900. He's been playing shitloads of minutes, completely irresponsibly, in my opinion, on the coaching staff. He shouldn't be playing this many minutes when he doesn't need to, when he's got a dicky knee already, doesn't need to get out there. But anyway, he is, and that's what's happening. So at 8,900, does he get 40 points? Yeah, I think he's a pretty decent shot at that. El-Farouq Aminu at 4,600, no consistency whatsoever. And Lance Thomas, he gets a bit of a bump with Aflalo out. But aside from that, even if Aflalo's out, I'm not using him. What about... he's at 6,400. Tournaments only, can't rely upon him in cash at the moment. The minutes are too up and down. The production's still pretty nice. Even in 22 minutes in the last game, he dropped 28 points. But it's too up and down at 6,400. You need to be consistently over 30, and he's just not at the moment. Ed Davis, though, is putting together big, big numbers. He's at 4,500. He's averaging 29 across his last three, 24 across his last five. You could do worse than throwing Ed Davis into a tournament. Not much else to really talk about at the power forward position. With the centers, Robin Lopez has been on a real streak. 6,000 for him. Had 39 in the last game. 34 average across his last five against his former team. Fine. This is a great spot for Lopez, I reckon. Mason Plumlee at 5,200. Just tailed off a little bit. And 5,200, I would much rather him at 47, say. And then he would be in play. At 5,200, I'm not loving it. the Orlando Magic and the Dallas Mavericks. We have the Mavericks favored by 5. The total is 212.5. The injury we need to check out in this one is Evan Fournier, who's dealing with that sore wrist. But we start with the point guards. Darren Williams is at 5,700. Yeah, I think he's an okay guy. That the upside is relatively high for him. He's fine to use, but without getting too excited. 4,800 for Ray Felton. You could do a lot worse than Ray Felton in a tournament. His highest scorer of his last 5 has been 32. He's averaging 27 in his last 3. He's got some upside. He's also got some fairly significantly low floor, but he's been playing good minutes off the bench. Lord Alfred Payton, 5,300. No, thank you. Not in cash. No chance. We don't know what Skiles is going to do. He has been more consistent lately, and he almost dropped 30 in the last game, so I wouldn't mind him in a tournament, but that's about it. Brandon Jennings, CJ Watson, they can be left alone. They have been limited recently by Alfred Payton. Wes Matthews, I eulogize him maybe a little bit too early. He's at 4,300. He hasn't been awesome, but 23 points at 4,300 is fine. I think he's an okay cash game target. Not the best, but okay. 7,000 for Vic Oladipo. A big game in the last one. If Fournier's out, I like this one even more for Oladipo. And Fournier at 5,400. If he plays, I actually like it at that salary. I think that's a decent guy to look at. The small forward battle in this one, we look at Chandler Parsons, who was awesome in the last game, 6,800. He's averaging 33 across his last 5. This is a sort of an even money value matchup. He's an okay option, probably not the best guy I'm looking at. If Fournier is out, Mario Hezonja will get the start. He had 21 in the last game with Fournier out. He's at 3,700. That's fine. You throw him into a tournament and maybe he gets even hotter than he did. Not that he was hot in the last game, but he could play better. Power forwards. David Lee at 4,500. I highlighted him a lot on yesterday's show, talking about how ridiculously inflated his stats are at the moment. But at 4,500, I'm fine. Throw him into a tournament and see what happens. He's averaging over 25 points in his last 3 games, all for Dallas. And at 4,500, that's fine. But he's really not good. He's really terrible. The game has passed him by. He's too slow. His defense is horrible. I don't know if it'll stick in this sort of role. But in a tournament, give it a go. Aaron Gordon at 6,500. The salary is rising. The production is also rising. Definitely fine with using him. His lowest score in his last 5 has been 31 points. He is just getting better and better. He should be owned in every standard league if he's not. And if he's not, there's a problem there. But he should he can definitely be deployed in DFS as well. Dirk is at 6,800. Dirk is a little bit more up and down. He's more of a tournament option than a cash game play. If I'm looking at cash, I would rather Aaron Gordon. If I'm looking at tournaments, I'd probably also rather Gordon, but Dirk comes into more consideration when you're looking at tournament picks. The centers, Nick Vucevic is where it's all at here. He is at 8,100. He's been a little bit down, but Dallas does allow centers, and especially if you're facing against the Zaza Pachulia, David Lee, Dirk Nowitzki frontline, Vuce could feast. This could be a 45, 50 point outing for him. Fine using him. I think he's a really good option. Zaza at 5,300. No thanks. Not with the minutes trending down. Atlanta and Golden State. Steph Curry is questionable. With that ankle problem, let's hope it's all good for him. Not just for this game, but for the Warriors' quest for record-setting season. If Curry plays at 11,200, you almost feel like you have to play him. For as good as he's been and the production you're getting and against an Atlanta team, he's worth looking at. But the questionable tag makes him questionable, and it makes using him questionable as well. Jeff Teague at 6,300, probably not. Dennis Schroeder at 5,000, it's too expensive on a guy who's not getting 20 minutes a game. At shooting guard, I do like Clay here, especially if Curry is out. 7,200 for Clay, dropped 42 in the last game, 35, 37, that's the target he should be looking at, and I think he can do it pretty comfortably, even more so if Curry is out. Kyle Korver at 3,700, tournament, and that's about it. Can't rely upon him in cash. And Tim Hardaway, a name you probably didn't expect me to mention. He's at minimum salary, but he's averaging 18 points across his last 3, which is not great, but he's getting consistent run, consistent minutes. He played decent minutes last time out against the Warriors. Not a horrible guy to look at. Nah, he's pretty horrible. Barbosa, Rush, Clark, Lamar Patterson, Kirk Heinrich. There's a lot of crap at shooting guard in this game. Harry Barnes at 4,200. Will this guy crack 20 points? It feels like he can't get anywhere near that. Not using him. Andre Iguodala at 4,100. Not using him. Kent Bazemore at 47. Maybe. Maybe a look at him, but there are better small forward options on the board than Kent Bazemore. Power forward, Draymond Green. Cash, it's hard. Tournaments is fine. A nice 57-point outing against the Thunder. At 8,400, though, he just always feels a little bit expensive. Yes, he can have these big games, but most of the time he's going under that, and yeah, that it restricts him to tournaments only. Paul Millsap, on the other hand, he was awesome last time against the Warriors. 7,700, that's not expensive. I'm expecting a pretty big outing from him here. And the center position, I'm going to say the same for Al Horford. He was fantastic against the Warriors the last time they played. It's a great matchup for him. He's at 7,900. He's averaging almost 49 points across his last three. He is a fine guy to use here against the Warriors. Bogut and Varejao, not so much. The last game of the night, the Brooklyn Nets and the Lakers. I think the Nets win this game. The Lakers are favored by two. The total is 212.5 points. A couple of injuries to look at here. Kobe is questionable. Wayne Ellington is questionable with concussion. So we need to check, obviously, if they're playing. I love D'Angelo Russell here. He's at 5,300. He's averaging 29.6 across his last three, which is exceeding that value pretty comfortably. Love him here now that he's getting that extra run. Shane Larkin and Donald Sloan, the minutes are going to be split, so I don't want to use them in fantasy either. Maybe a tournament and you look at Sloan, perhaps, but not really. Jordan Clarkson is at 6,000. He's got a decent spot here, a decent matchup. 6,000 feels just a tad expensive at the moment. Wayne Ellington, Markel Brown at 3,600. He's a punt option if Ellington doesn't play. A really great matchup for him. Maybe something big happens. Look at him in a tournament setting. Lou Williams at 5,200 feels a little bit expensive. And Nick Young, despite being minimum salary, does not entice me at all. The small forwards, Bojan Bogdanovic, minimum salary. He dropped 27 today. Beautiful matchup. Tournaments, you can't trust him in cash, but in a tournament, I think he's a great guy to look at. And there's not really anyone else at the small forward position in this game. Thad Young at 7,000, this is a great matchup for him going up against the Lakers. He's already averaging 38 across his last three. I think he's in line for a 40-point night here. Julius Randle has been a bit disappointing lately at 6,000. I don't want to spend that sort of money on him at this point. And Brandon Bass has dropped off as well. Despite being a low salary guy, he was producing in the 20s, not so much the last couple. Brook Lopez at 8,400. This is prime Brook Lopez territory for a big game. I think 40 points should be the aim for him, and that makes him useful at 8,400. Roy Hibbert, Tariq Black, I don't think I could do anything to make them useful, to be honest. The DFS picks of the day at point guard, Ron Price, 3,800, D'Angelo Russell, 5,300, and Damian Lillard, 9,300. At shooting guard, Markel Brown, 36, Klay Thompson, 72, and Dwayne Wade, 76. Small forwards, Bojan Bogdanovic, 35, Luol Deng, 6,000, and Carmelo Anthony, 89. At power forward, Mirza Teletovic, 47, Thad Young, 7,000, and Paulie Millsap, 7,700. At center, I do not like one of the low-priced centers, so not putting anyone there. Alex Lenz at 5,200, and Hassan Whiteside is at 8,400. We are done today, guys. Make sure you're checking out the morning update on Basketball Monster, the waiver wire article which Matt Smith has written, which will be up by the time you're listening to this. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at redrock_bball and Basketball Monster at Bask Monster. That's it. No more plugs. Subscribe. It helps you out, helps me out, helps the show out. It's really great if you can do it. And leave a review. That's awesome as well. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.